When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
Discover what BetterHelp Online Therapy can do for you. Visit BetterHelp.com today.
The following podcast may contain discussions supported by science that may be considered dangerous to some listeners and conspiracy theorists. Discretion is advised.
The Three Down Greencast is brought to you by Lucky Bastard Distillers, Saskatchewan's premier distillery, and by the Pilot Bowens Brewing Company, brewed in the heart of Regina.
Welcome to the Three Down Greencast. You are listening to the internet's only Other Sickos Committee podcast, I guess. I am Joel Gaston with John Fraser, as usual. Plenty to get to, as yes, the regular season is here. The regular season is finally upon us. The Saskatchewan Roughriders will play the Ottawa Red Blacks this Thursday, probably today by the time you're listening to this, or perhaps tomorrow if you are really crazy and listening to this at whatever time at night this gets released on Wednesday, June 4th.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave. Yeah, hi, Dave. So plenty to get to in that. Some roster news to talk about, sort of what went on there in terms of what the Riders are doing with their roster. A couple other news and notes. And since this is the opening week of the CFL regular season, we are also going to make our Grey Cup predictions. You can find mine already on 3downnation.com. John
like
will
it.
Make
I
his.
Like yours. Yeah.
And we will also have sort of one hot take that has to do with sort of our overall thought on what might happen this season.
Yes.
None of that information appeared on the Sickos Committee podcast, which John and I appeared on this week. Those lovely folks had us over on Sunday night in their streaming facilities to discuss the CFL. And one thing I do want to say at first, even though it did not feel like we were recording for 2 hours because we were having so much fun.
Yep.
I'm glad we do not do a two-hour podcast, because I got up from that and my back was sore.
Signs are getting old. Meanwhile, I have the, I affectionately and jokingly, but truthfully say I have the smallest bladder in broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
I think my back teeth are actually floating in a bit, but no, I mean, I absolutely love going on with those guys. Like, that is just so much fun. We're such big fans. So to be honorary sickos for 1 week and go completely off the rails is always great.
Mm-hmm. And naturally, I think we went off the most rails, off the rails the most, when we were talking about the Saskatchewan Roughriders. I think for the most part, most of the conversation stayed surprisingly mostly football related once we got into the CFL stuff with them.
Yes.
Until we got to the Riders, and that's because you were talking about lovely Saskatoon, and then one of them mentioned, well, what about Prince Albert? And then that got, we were like, ooh, ooh, ooh. And then I was like, trying to think of cities outside of like Saskatoon or Regina. I was like, I would lean towards Moose Jaw, because Moose Jaw is lovely.
I love Moose Jaw.
And you love Moose Jaw as well. But naturally, you being one Jonathan Q. Fraser, we know you have an affinity for a certain team in Moose Jaw and their logo, which has now spiraled beyond what we were discussing on the Sickos, apparently.
Which is absolutely fantastic. Yes, as I've mentioned a couple times on this pod, more so in social media, I think the Moose Jaw, and it slipped when, and you've probably seen the reel, and if you listen to the Sickos Committee, I say pro sports, I meant all sports, right?
Yeah.
Little slip there.
Meh.
I was just so excited to have my lane that I knew, like, that's one thing, like, when you're the token, like, off the rails guy, and you're like, you almost get so excited, you're like, I have something that people are going to enjoy, I just got to get it out, right? So, yes, I know it is all sports, but I get to hammer on the Moose Jaw Miller Express. Again, this is, I love Moose Jaw. It is a great place to go. I like the rebranding of the Warriors. But yet, the Miller Express have the worst logo in all of sports. And I think I felt so vindicated when, like, everybody on the Sickos call, including the producer, pulls up their logo and goes, oh, God, what is that?
Yeah, it was totally a scenario where I thought maybe someone would like it, Or someone would be like, oh, that's not that bad. But like, you set the expectations so high, and it seems like you actually surpassed the expectations.
I did. It's the worst logo in sports, to the point that...
I also enjoy that everyone has a different interpretation of it. Like, for you, it's like... What do you say?
Paper company.
Paper company, right? To me, it kind of, and like the name and sort of look, the name sort of sounds like newspaper-ish to me.
Yes.
They all thought it looked like a quick lube place, like one of those places where you go for 10 minutes to get your oil changed.
Well, and I think the best is the real Instagram, where Pit Girl's going on about it, where they actually Photoshop the Miller Express logo over a generic shop. Like, I actually started coming around on that, but I've always thought like defunct, like 2000s, like paper and printer company, like we'll get your express print to you or whatever. So, it actually escalated and I can share this. The sicko shared this with me. And by the time you listen to this, it's already happened. Somebody from the Weyburn Beavers reached out to the sickos and said, when we introduce Moose Jaw tonight, do you mind if we play your clip bashing their logo? So that means the Miller Express came into Weyburn tonight and heard me shit-talking their logo. And you know what? The day was right downhill from there. I'll tell you that for free. But
You tell us everything for free on this podcast. We do not charge for people to listen to us.
No, we don't. We don't have the time for patrons or paywalls. And really, it would just be Dave. And Dave's picked up a couple tabs for us, so it's all fair. It was just so funny to hear that Weyburn did that. If anybody has video of it, I'm hoping it makes it my way because I need to see that.
I mean, if you're Weyburn, you got to post that, right? Or at least send it to the sickos or something, right?
Like, or send it to me. Like, I just, I got to see it. I did then text the Saskatoon Berry staff, as of course they are the same folks I work with The Rush. And I said, hey, look, this is awesome. So I'm hoping this becomes a league-wide thing of people just shit-talking their logo. Because for a 90s paper company, great. For a baseball team, it does it a massive disservice.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would kind of be funny if they leaned into it a bit also and, like, went with the whole, like, if I were them, like, them being the Moose Jaw Miller Express, I would lean into it and do, like, a total throwback 90s night.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, give away, like, a bunch of free paper or something.
or get a local oil change place and just get them to rename it Miller Express for like the season.
Maybe. I mean, that could work.
I see that logo and I think, like, remember those really shitty old like thick cotton golf shirts? I see that with a very blurry stitched on Miller Express logo. That's what I see comes to mind. Well, that person's telling you need to change your fluids or your air filter. Unnecessarily, I may add, that's why you go to a trusted service department against Toyota, get it done out of the way. I just see that logo like stitched in on a shitty golf shirt that you find at Value Village many years later.
Yeah. Or like a hat that just like is like the brim really bends, but like the top is like super flat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's funny, though, because, like, and this is actually something that that our friend of the program, Greg on Sports, pointed out. From Piffles. Did you know the M is not actually an M? It is an upside down W.
I haven't looked that closely, no.
No, Greg did.
Of course, Greg did. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, he is a logo snob, and he actually found that they're in the font package that they use, the M looks different, so somebody actually had to go and turn that W upside down.
I mean, at least they did something, I guess.
But, I mean, you put all that work into making sure the M was right, and you still come out with that shit?
I don't know. I was going to say, at least, I guess they want a W in their name, but there already is a W if you do the Moose Jaw. But it just says Miller Express, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and then, too, like, their alternate logo, the MX, definitely looks like an ill-fated motocross-only channel. Like, it looks like what you would see on a mic flash on an ill-fated motocross-only channel, again, from the early 2002s.
Well, I mean... They're saying really should be like Moose Jaw Miller Express baseball to the extreme. Oh. But like extreme.
Yeah, I could get behind that. Like I could get into leading into
the full like cliched everything late 90s, early 2000s you could ever think of.
Yeah, yeah. Just make it happen. Make it happen. Mm-hmm. They could come out to the Office theme song. Mm-hmm. Right,
which would like kind of work in baseball. Like you don't need the super like intimidating big pump up thing for a baseball team to run onto the field, because it's like it's not like a football team running into the tunnel or a hockey team skating onto the ice or anything. It's far less anticlimactic. It's like a bunch of guys run out to their spots and then they throw around a ball for a bit. So I mean,
right. It's like how I love the tradition of the New Zealand haka, especially for the All Blacks. Mm-hmm. But when the World Men's Softball was here, saying a bunch of softball players do it was like kind of the same thing. I don't know if you need a haka while playing softball.
I mean, I think, yeah, maybe not. But I mean, the fact that everyone from New Zealand does it is pretty cool, I guess.
It is cool. But it was one of those, like, you're watching it and at first it's really cool and you're like, this doesn't quite fit the vibe.
No, maybe not. While we are on the topic of podcast business, which is of course what we opened this program with today.
Yes.
This year as well, you can catch me every week on CBC radio here in Regina. Does Morning Edition play across the province? I never know what's going on. Like, does Saskatoon have its own morning show up there now?
We do. Yes. Actually, okay. Hosted by the lovely and very talented Stephanie Massicott.
Right. Okay. So yeah, this is this sort of Regina in Southern Saskatchewan, I guess, a Morning Edition. I will be appearing with Adam Hunter weekly on there, discussing all things Riders and the CFL. If you are not in the Regina area or traditional radio isn't necessarily your thing, because everything except our podcast and the Sickos and Shutdown Fullcast has to have video these days, there are cameras in studio, so they do get posted to YouTube after the show, if that is something that interests you whatsoever.
Edited by friend of the program, Dan Plaster.
Yes, he sent me to take you behind the scenes. It's going to air tomorrow, the segment, or today, depending on when you're listening. I could not make it into studio on Thursday, so the magic of radio is you can record it whenever you want. Kind of like a podcast. And so I was in on Wednesday. We did that segment, and so Dan sent me a shot of him editing the video with me in it, and he said, this is really weird. And I said, sorry for one of the faces.
You'll see.
And it wasn't Adams. It wasn't Adams, by the way. So
that's fair. And much like you will see on every Saskatchewan Rush home game, you'll see on every YouTube video, there's a reason we don't do video.
No. I mean, this one's real easy because it's basically, it's the standard radio on video bit. Mm-hmm. Where like I get in the studio and there's like yellow tape on the desk. And Adam's like, just make sure you're lined up with this and you'll be okay. I'm like, all right. So I basically just sat in the one spot, talked in the microphone and looked at him a bit. And that's basically all it is. Like, this isn't real TV. It's just like, if you watch Sportsnet in the afternoon and they have the filler programming from like the Fan 590 on, it's basically the same thing. But I think they actually, in the YouTube video, overlay some B-roll over it to make it look a little more visually interesting.
Or you're hoping it's not just star wipe, star wipe, star wipe. Dan Plaster, when you're listening, I need one star wipe for Joel Gasson this year.
I mean, it fits with the 90s theme, star wipes.
It does.
Right?
It does.
It totally, the Moose Jaw Miller Express should be using star wipes on all their videos. Homer Simpson liked it. I mean, how could Homer be wrong?
Listen, it worked for Ned Flanders.
It did.
I mean, so did his tree trunk, but...
and his 14-pack.
Yes.
we've shit-talked
Moose Jaw's... stupid sexy Flanders. We've shit-talked Moose Jaw. We've worked into Simpsons reference. The drinking game off to a great start for anybody that's playing along at home.
Mm-hmm. You probably heard my dog barking in the background as well. I don't know if that's on there. He's also now over here eating some food, so... all kinds of things happening today. This is fascinating and interesting podcasting, as always.
Maybe we should try talking football.
Maybe. The Riders are obviously hoping that their game on Thursday evening will be fascinating and interesting, as they will open the season against the Ottawa Red Blacks, or Red Blacks, if you're part of the Sickos committee.
We have to adopt that. We have to adopt that now.
I'm still not entirely positive. I didn't want to say anything on their podcast, but... I thought the team went away from the all capital letters a few years ago. I feel like it is just capital R Red Blacks now.
I don't know.
I could be wrong, though.
Again, I think we should need to get Greg to work some font magic here.
Yeah, because if you go, no, I guess their website still says Ottawa Red Blacks. So it's
there we go. Still Red Blacks.
That's what that's apparently what it says. So I guess I am misinformed. I thought for sure. I know like style guides for all media don't do it other than like internal media.
Yes.
If they even still do it on theirs, I don't even know if they write things on their website. Oh no, yeah, they have all capitals still. Okay.
Wow.
I don't know where I saw that and thought that, but I for some reason thought the team ended that, but apparently not. Well, good thing I didn't say anything and make a further ass of myself.
That's fair. Well, see, at least now they don't like come after anybody for writing it that way.
I don't remember them ever doing that, but
I heard someplace they did. That was a long time ago, like back in my like not paying attention to practice days. But
Okay. Yes. So, yep, the Riders will play the Red Blacks this week, and we will preview the season ahead a little bit. But as always, before all that, for the Pile of Bones Brewing Company, John, what is in the glass this week?
I'm wondering if we did the thing.
It's entirely possible.
No, I think it's plausible. I went out and I'm like, I still have some Pile of Bones in the fridge from Adam. I know, shocker.
Wow, that is shocking, actually.
Right? You know, he gave me a lot of beer, man. I appreciate it. I went out and I'm like, hey, off work, Sobey's Liquor, and I picked up the new can of the Zilla IPA from Rebellion. A great IPA, cool new can. So if you're looking for it in the stores, Godzilla is done terrorizing cities and is now Indiana Jones.
Hmm.
Very cool. Also, while double fisting from our friend Bryce at Lucky Bastard, he made a pick this week or this month for me, the coconut lime vodka.
Yes.
Oh. That is summer in a glass. For those like me that aren't used to sugar content in their drinks and have a couple too many before you go to work the next morning, there's a bit of sugar in it. Just watch your headaches or pack BioSteel accordingly.
Yeah, always BioSteel. Fair enough. We did not do the thing, but we kind of almost did the thing.
Okay.
I have the new Rebellion Zilla Light IPA.
Oh, okay.
Which is like Zilla, but a little lighter, not as hoppy. I much prefer the full Zilla, full diesel right. Zilla, I guess, if you want to call it. I don't know. It's good. I would drink it, but I had too high expectations of what to expect, but it's good. But it's not my favorite from Rebellion. I'll be completely honest.
See, I'm interested to try it because I like a... We love our IPAs and stuff, but there are days, you know, whether you're driving, whether, you know, you got something on the go, you don't want that full 6 to 7%.
No, this one's 4.5%. It's got a blue Zilla on the label and he's in space.
Okay.
With a bit of a lightsaber, it looks like, but not a full one. So that's probably avoiding some kind of copyright thing.
I would assume so.
From what I understand, look for basically all of the Rebellion Zillas to be rebranded into this sort of all of the IPAs to be rebranded into sort of the Zilla brand. Like Hazy's being done soon. I don't know if Black is or not, but and they're all going to kind of have the same sort of look with a new age Zilla on it and different designs.
Well, and I guess that makes sense if you've got Indiana Jones, you got Star Wars, right? Mm-hmm. Like getting the classics, the Spielberg Lucas is out there.
Mm-hmm. Entirely possible that we could see a classic on Thursday night at Mosaic Stadium.
I made that one tough for you, too. Well done, Gas. Well done.
And I mean that legitimately. I mean, week one, we've seen classics in week one, and week one is the week. We'll see when the Three Down Nation picks come out, whether John Hodge actually keeps everything I wrote. Because I put for every pick for every game this week, I put the exact same thing. In sort of the explanation, we're basically said, paraphrasing a bit, where anything can happen in week one, nothing should be taken too seriously one way or the other. Because that's week one in a nutshell, no matter how you want to shake it.
Right.
I know it doesn't sound great when we are in the business of talking about the CFL and trying to come up with storylines every week, but week one is basically an extension of the preseason that matters.
You're not wrong at all. And I mean, you see some of the best games because things are still a little sloppy. Guys haven't figured each other out.
It's the same thing in every sport. Like some of the best hockey of the year happens in the first like 2 weeks because no one knows how to play defense yet. And every game is like 7-6.
Oh, that is that is why I have just started permanently. I watch the first month of the season and then the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, I obviously follow my Jets and follow the scores and all that kind of stuff. But in terms of actually sitting down, like, no, I'm watching this game. That's all I do. In fact, I've even got the Stanley Cup final on one of my three screens I've got in the basement tonight.
Yeah. I mean, we see it in baseball, too. Some really funky scores early as pitchers figure it out, you know, all that sort of stuff. So my point is, no matter what happens in this game, it doesn't really matter one way or the other. I mean, there's a couple of years ago, the Riders started 0-2, and then they win a bunch of games. Or we've seen teams, you know, sort of lose the first couple and fall apart, win the first couple and fall apart from there. So realistically, well, nothing.
See that one year, or BC, yeah. 2011, were they 0-5 or 0-6?
Something like that. They were like 1-9 or something before they started winning.
Right, yes.
Yeah, so everyone loves to bring that example up when a team sucks the halfway point, but generally speaking, by the halfway point, if you still suck, then you're probably going to suck the rest of the year. So yeah, the first few weeks, first week especially, sort of any sort of wild thing can happen. And I think especially when we bring in two teams that are probably going to be decent at offense. Like, I think there's high expectations about the Ottawa Red Blacks on offense. Like, Drew Brown, both of you and I are really high on him. Yep. I think after what we saw last year, he will be the guy that Winnipeg let get away and did not want to make the decision that Montreal made. We'll get to that in a little bit, though.
Yeah, I mean, you and Andrew Hoskins both picked him for MOP.
Yes, I did pick Drew Brown to be my MOP because I'm like, there's the obvious picks like the Nathan Rourkes and the Brady Oliveras and the Bo Levi Mitchells and these guys who we know are going to be good. I'm like, I don't know, what about a bit, like, I don't think Drew Brown's a true, like, dark horse, because, like, all nine quarterbacks are probably technically the most eligible to win this award. Yes. But I think he's got the tools, and he's got three really good receivers that could all hit 1,000 yards at his disposal.
I know we don't typically talk betting here, but I think it's a good measuring stick. Mm-hmm. Drew Brown is a heavier favorite for MOP than Brady Oliveira and Trevor Harris, and at nearly equal odds with Zach Kolaris and Alexander.
Interesting.
Just behind Ingrown Toenail, Nathan Rourke, and Bo Levi Mitchell.
So I guess a lot of people are pretty high on him as well, which is good. And the point is, that could make for a very exciting football game on Thursday evening, because I think we'll have two quarterbacks that are going to be pretty good. Both teams have questionable offensive lines, and both teams, I think Red Blacks more so, but I think the Riders, for half of their, you know, secondary, there's still sort of some questions on how this is going to look outside of Roland Milligan and Marcus Sales.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is offense could be the name of the game, and that could be fun. And that's, you know, I'm not predicting that we're going to see like that Montreal Saskatchewan home opener that went to like double overtime and it was like 100 points scored plus combined. But I'm expecting a pretty good game.
Yeah, I would agree. And you always see it in week one. And I think, too, you know, you still got guys that are basically playing for jobs. As you called it, this is the extended preseason that counts, right? Especially, I think, in the CFL this year that you have, despite a couple delusional people out there, you have one team that is very obviously going to be bad, right, in Calgary, right? There's nobody outside of the biggest homers out there have any hope of Calgary unless they're trolling, right? Yep.
Like, and to be fair to Calgary, I think they should be more competitive and they should be more fun to watch this year. I just think the rest of the league is going to be so tough, it's going to be difficult for them to climb the standings.
Right. They're the one team that you can't look at and say, okay, outside of a quarterback, they got objectively better.
Yeah.
Like, I think every team...
You can maybe make that argument about BC as well, but that's another discussion.
But again, in BC, you got to think, though, some of that's going to be canceled out by the fact that, you know, Nathan Rourke's not looking at a 17th different playbook in five seasons, right? Mm. So it's, but no, I always have high hopes for week one. It's just nice to finally have football here. It's supposed to be some decent weather here in Sasky for Thursday, right? It's kind of got all those things of it could be chaotic, it could be fun, two good teams, and... You know, this might be a game, and I think, too, to add to the chaos, is you're not starting with a traditional Western rival.
No.
You know, you're not starting with a West Division battle. This is a game you can get a little sillier and have a bit more fun and make more mistakes, because until the league goes to unified standings, which we both think they should, you've got a situation here where you've got a interdivision game opening night of the year. Should be fun. Now, we've all said it should be fun, and we're going to get a 6-5 score.
Yeah, Canadian Field Goal League after all, right? So that's probably where we'll end up at the end of the day. The one interesting thing sort of note, I think, that we saw from the Riders' depth chart being released is this is a whole new area for us. We don't generally talk about the game ahead, but no. We're not... There's no point in looking back at the final preseason game at this point.
Right. Especially when, like, I think we've all acknowledged, and I think it was Paul LaPolice. I was listening to him on the CJOB broadcast with our boy Derek Taylor. And he literally came out and said, he's like, yep, second preseason game, you're basically fighting for practice roster spots. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if a guy who's been a longtime coordinator and is now the head coach of the Olympic flag football team basically goes, yeah, this kind of doesn't matter, I think everybody can start taking the same approach, right? Mm-hmm. So...
A couple of interesting things they've done roster-wise, though. Number one, they've kept Jack Cohn on the active roster and unsurprisingly have decided to one-game him, which means he's on the one-game injury list. And I assume until needed otherwise, this is probably the plan for the year because obviously you're not going to dress four quarterbacks. So I actually like this.
Yes.
I think this makes a lot of sense. In a perfect world, yes, you could just stash him on the practice roster. And listening to the Green Zone postgame show on the way home from the game last week, I actually didn't know this. Daryl Davis was talking about most guys on the practice roster, as we know, make whatever that minimum is.
Right.
On the practice roster, but you don't have to pay them that. You can apparently pay them more if you would like.
Oh, interesting.
So in theory, the Riders could have put Jack Cohn on the practice roster and made an agreement with him to keep paying him his full salary. Which I guess could have been the other option here, but then he could potentially be like there's a whole other scenario that where he could be poached. I don't think he really would have been, but you know, in theory, right. Someone could try to poach him, but then the Riders have the easy option of adding him to the active roster anyway.
And one gaming him if they needed to.
Yeah. And so, but it's just, you take all that out of the way. You don't have to worry about it. You just put him on the one game. You keep him happy to make sure that he gets his full salary for the year because it's clear that they like this guy. And he showed more than Jake Mayer did in that second preseason game. Granted, against different competition, the numbers don't really reflect it, but you can just see it in the way he plays. There's a little bit more of that it factor to him. Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely convinced in either of them, quite frankly, long term, but it's still worth keeping Jack Cohn around a little bit, I think, especially because while he's quote unquote QB4, realistically, he's QB3 because Tommy Stevens, other than in a game where both quarterbacks happen to get injured, maybe, is never going to throw a pass or play an actual down for this team besides falling forward.
No, and you're bang on that. And you have to think at some point, I like keeping him on their active roster as well because at some point a quarterback's going to get hurt. That is the new reality of the CFL, whether it's Harris, whether it's Mayer. Even if it's Stevens, you got to think that Jack Cohn at some point is going to be suiting up in a game.
No question.
So,
and I mean, it's easy to drag guys off the practice roster, as we saw with punter Joe Couch, which they did exactly what I assumed they would. Whenever was talking about, oh, they don't have a punter on the roster. I'm like, no, they're going to one game Jack Cohn, and then Joe Couch will be brought in from the practice roster. Sure enough, the depth chart was out today, and what happened?
And we have a man named Couch as our punter.
Mm-hmm. No relation to Tim Couch, though, as far as we know.
That's right. Speaking of strange roster decisions, did you see Ottawa's only dressing five receivers?
Mm-hmm. I had to message Santino, our boy, for on the site for the Ottawa Redblacks, and be like, who's the backup receiver, technically? And he believes one of the running backs or someone is, which I was like, that's a little bit risky. He's like, yeah. Yeah, well, I agree. Especially this early in the year where it could be easy to tweak a hammy or something, right? Like,
Yeah. It seems like you see a lot of injuries and not even like season-ending injuries, no. But guys, you know, straining a calf, missing a few downs. All of a sudden you have no receivers and instead they have nine linebackers. So maybe they got some linebackers with sneaky hands. I don't know. It was just...
Now I want to see them line up like a defensive lineman out there.
Yes, see a defensive lineman run the wagon.
Or I mean, they just run two tights and two running backs and, you know, full power. Just from the team with the offensive coordinator who never runs the football, it would be completely unexpected.
Just see them come out in single wing the entire game. Nobody would see it coming.
No, nobody.
Some real sickos. That's how we're going to get our 6-5 final right there.
Mm-hmm. The other sort of interesting roster note was the decision to keep Mary Walford on.
Yes.
It caught some people by surprise. Not me, not entirely, because Dre McCray did leave that game last week a little banged up, though they didn't really say too much about it, so it didn't sound like it's that serious, especially because he's on the practice roster or not the sixth game at this point. And after the first game, I was certainly in the camp, and we talked about it, of a potential change at returner. And the more I thought about it after the fact, to me, it sort of made sense, I think, to stick with Alfred for now.
Yeah.
Just because we know returning kicks in the CFL is far more nuanced than it is in the NFL and even the NCAA, mm-hmm. With, you know, sort of the idea of when to catch, when not to catch, when to, you know, give up a rouge, when not to. There's a lot of moving pieces to it rather than wave hand, catch ball.
Right.
So I think it is beneficial because I think we can all agree that Dre McCray is the heir apparent at this point. The question is when, not if, and it still could be some point this season, but I think it makes sense because Dre McCray is working closely with like Mary Walford, like Mario is helping him along.
That's awesome.
To sort of learn the role and learn the game. And so, I think it makes sense just for that reason alone to keep him around, but also just to be the veteran presence on the field for now until they feel comfortable enough. We all know McCray can run, and he can obviously make guys miss and do it. Like, the skills to be a kick returner are clearly not there. They just need to be like 100% sure that this guy's got it all figured up top, because as we've seen, you know, one bad decision from a kick returner can cost you a football game.
Hello, Edmonton Elks. No,
exactly.
No, you're bang on that. And it's not like, I think too, people still presume that Alfred has this big prohibitive contract, right?
His contract's basically nothing.
Right. I mean, it's $97,000 for the year, and mm-hmm. it's not fully guaranteed until Labor Day. So this again, you know, preseason, regular season, week one, you've still got until Labor Day to figure this out if you want to keep his cap hit. And we don't know what the Riders' internal cap structure is or what this extra bonus room that we all speculate is there, but we're not really sure. But I don't hate it. I like having that next guy up as long as you don't, you know, let him get away like Winnipeg did with Drew Brown.
But, I mean, it's a little different to kick returner than quarterback, but yeah.
Yeah, 100%, right? And again, there's another position. You see a lot of injuries. You typically see late in the season a guy come in with fresh legs and absolutely dominate because, again, his legs are fresh. Mm-hmm. So you've kind of got depth everywhere, and that's not a bad problem to have.
Not at all. So the Riders are obviously hoping that depth will propel them to playing football deeper into November even than last year. One more week than last year. As we're going to do this now. I don't know if we do this every year. We approach the first week of the season different every year around here.
We really do.
We'd really do, and that's fine. So what we're going to do now, because my pick is already out there, you can read it on 3downnation.com.
Yes, and you should. And I like your pick.
I will go first.
Okay.
In my Grey Cup prediction. I believe I picked, you know, got to try to go a little outside of the box, though being too outside the box in these sorts of situations, I think. I went with the Ottawa Red Blacks over the Saskatchewan Rough Riders 35-30.
Ooh, I like it.
I mean, as we said, it's one of those weird years where other than Calgary, you could talk me into just about any Grey Cup matchup. Which means we'll probably end up with Winnipeg and Toronto again.
More than likely.
But regardless, just my theory, my thinking is this, and this sort of leads into my hot take a little bit.
Okay.
Even though, and this is sort of weird to say, even though I like the Montreal Alouettes decision long term to make the change at quarterback, I don't know if it's going to pay off this year. I just have this weird feeling in the back of my head that things aren't going to go as well for them as they have the last couple of years.
I would agree.
I feel like I could see the Alouettes finishing third or maybe even fourth and missing the playoffs. I think even technically a East crossover could be in play this year even.
Yeah.
Depending on how things go in the West. So my thinking of that is, okay, Montreal, I think, will take a bit of a step back. I don't expect them to get there. Toronto, despite Ryan Dinwiddie being perhaps the best coach in the league and always getting his team there, it's hard to do continuously at that level. So to me, it feels like the Ottawa Red Blacks are in a very good spot to reach the Grey Cup this year with their offense, as long as they can figure out the defense. In the West, I mean, it comes down to the math has to math here. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers have to not make a Grey Cup eventually.
Yes.
I believe they'll make the playoffs. They could even be in the West Final, host the West Final again, but they have to lose that game eventually. And it just feels like, at least at this point, the Riders are probably the most poised to beat them. Because I think, Edmonton has a shot. Obviously, they brought in the talent, and we know what everyone there is capable of. It's just a matter of whether it comes together. I think
which takes time. We've seen that time and time again.
Yeah, takes time. The BC Lions, to me, are the biggest wild card in the league.
Yes.
Like, with Nathan Work, if Nathan Work plays 2022 Nathan Work and plays out of his mind at, like, basically a record-setting pace, that is the kind of play that could drag a team to a Grey Cup appearance, no question about it. If he's a little bit less than that, or heaven forbid, even a lot less than that, like they talked about on the three down pod, I think the BC Lions may have the lowest floor in the league because I don't think a lot of us are too keen on what they did around Nathan Work. So
agreed.
That could easily fall apart on them. It's all dependent on that. So they are the wild card in this whole situation. And we all kind of expect Calgary to not make the playoffs. So to me, the Riders feel like sort of the natural fit at this point to come out of the West if it's not Winnipeg.
I like it. I think Saskatchewan. I think it's going to come down to whoever has home field advantage. I think your teams in the West are so close. Even like all shitting on Calgary we've been doing, I think they're going to surprise some people. And I think they're going to be sneaky competitive, right? So I think in the West, where it's going to be, the margin for error is going to be so small, I do think you're genuinely going to have whoever finishes first or second is going to advance, right? My pick is obviously the Calgary Stampeders and Hamilton Tiger Cats. I'm kidding.
Hamilton's again that weird team. If this is the year they finally don't start the season as like easily the worst team in the league, like if they don't suck for 3 months to start the year and then come on and then have their usual like late surge, if they just kind of tread water for a while and then have their late surge, they could do it, but they just have to avoid not being like 1-8 again.
I think this is going to be in the East. And I'm just going to start. I'll save my hottest take for last. But as you said, I'm with you on the Davis Alexander experiment. I like it long term. I don't like it this year. Yeah. I like McLeod Bethel Thompson being there. But
I don't. But that's a whole other thing.
If they've got a capable veteran backup. Yep. If this really goes, if they start 0-6, they've got somebody to right the ship while Davis kind of figures it out. Right. That's why I like the McLeod Bethel Thompson signing. Nobody out of the East, except maybe Ottawa, I look at and go, yeah, they're going to be really, really good. Like, I think this is one of those years where the East is competitive, but you're seeing somebody win it at like 9-9.
Hmm.
Right? I think you've got a lot of equal teams in the East, and I think it's just going to come down to kind of who gets hot. I think Toronto's going to regress a bit, and we keep saying this, but like, when your starting quarterback is missing games with an ingrown toenail... Like, come on. Like, I've had ingrown toenail issues. I've had it removed. And I was literally told, okay, go sit on your ass for a week and then you're fine, right? Like, I'm not here to question somebody's toughness or anything like that. I'm not one of those old school guys, but come on, man. Like, come on. Your starting quarterback's missing time with an ingrown toenail and you're giving it to Nick Arbuckle, right? Toronto, I don't see them making it again. I do like Hamilton, in all seriousness. I think Hamilton can kind of weather the storm. The pieces they brought over, they brought a lot of guys with, some championship DNA. They've got 9 Blue Bombers in the offseason. I know they're paying a lot for Kenny Lawler, but they brought a lot of good role-playing guys from those Winnipeg teams that played a lot of, like, that would come up with a big play here and there, right? So... I really like Hamilton's offseason. I do think they win the East. I think the combined record, like East versus West, the East division is going to have lower records. Okay. Out of the West, I mean, if this is your first time listening to this podcast, I can assure you we're not Riders homers.
No.
Tell you that for free right now. I really like the Riders. I really do. I think Trevor Harris, 1-2, get the ball out is great. I think Jake Mayer to be there for a few games can steady the ship. I like a lot of the moves. They are spending, and this argument will become relevant in a minute, they're spending to the new cap. right? Whether or not it's been officially out there, all the teams basically told you can go spend on this new cap. They went out and did so. I mean, you even look like the last days of training camp, they're signing starters that had been cut because they have the cap flexibility because they're a spend to the cap team. Okay. I think I've got Edmonton challenging for the home playoff game. Mm-hmm. And my hot take is I think Winnipeg makes the playoffs, but they will not host a home game. They may even be the crossover team. And the reason I say this is strictly based on math. Okay. Winnipeg's the only team.
Did you put this into a spreadsheet or?
Well, it's logic, right? This is the logic of pro sports. Winnipeg essentially, when the new cap came out, they went, nope, we're just going to spend at the old cap. Okay. Find me a successful, contending Grey Cup champion team that hasn't flirted with the cap in the CFL. You can't.
I mean, a third to half of the teams tend to go over the salary, the luxury tax sort of lower limit every year.
But that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So that if you really look at what teams going over the lower limit, the difference between the new cap and maybe the super secret, you might be able to go over it cap and the lower limit of the luxury tax, we're not talking $100,000. We're talking $600,000-$700,000.
Yeah.
You know, and we talk on here like Mario Alford makes $100,000 a year. So Winnipeg is essentially going into the season saying, yeah, you guys are all getting seven Mario Alfords for your money. And we're not. We're just not doing it because that's not in our budget. And that, to me, you might have fiscal reasons for doing that. I mean, you're a publicly traded team. We'll see the numbers at the end of the year. But
it's also a year they're hosting the Grey Cup and we'll make that up like tenfold.
That's exactly it. And to me, if your team hosted the Grey Cup and you want to be serious, I've said on this very podcast, I've said on many appearances, many places, if you're going to host the Grey Cup, go over the cap. Go over the cap all the way up to and maybe including your first round pick. But instead, this Winnipeg team, this veteran Winnipeg team that is not getting any younger, is basically just pissing away $800,000 in cap room. And I thought, okay, maybe they're going to wait until after the cuts and sign a few bodies and stuff like that. Like, there's no Weston Dressler hanging out in the NFL waiting to get cut. Right? I think if you just math it out, Winnipeg's handicapping themselves for the season. I like some of their moves. I do. But you're playing the season with basically a $700,000 handicap on a year you're hosting the Grey Cup. So, to me, not only does that message bleed through your organization, but it just says, yeah, we're going to be fiscally responsible even though we're hosting the Grey Cup. Like, I think strict numbers, strict math, you're going to have a better team if you're a cap team than if you're spending way under the cap. That's logic. That's pro sports. And, like, nobody's arguing that the San Jose Sharks are good in the NHL, right? You look at the teams in the Cup final right now. They're at the cap, if not willfully over it, thanks to a drug test. So my hot take, and this is not just me saying the phrase or curse, I think Winnipeg struggles to make the playoffs unless they make a major change, a major signing, something to spend to the cap.